Wednesday night, we talked very blunt, but it was truthful. Brother Larry talked very blunt this morning in Sunday school, and he was very truthful. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 21 through 28. The tragedy of substitutions. When the reel runs out, people look for substitutes. When the reel is depleted, the people will not accept reality. When real runs out, authentic runs out, the wise thing to do would just be say, it's over, I don't have any more. But we are experts on substitution. When the real Holy Ghost, oh, y'all don't want to hear what I'm saying. When the real Holy Ghost quietens down in a church for whatever reason, we're experts. We know how to do it without the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't want to hear what I'm going to say this morning. So therefore, we invent things. We get our heads together. This is what we need to do to see our church grow. And we come up with astonishing programs. I'm not talking about just this local church. I'm talking about the church. They come up with all kinds of things, but I'm from old school. Let me tell you what it takes to get the church to grow. The Holy Ghost. That's not complicated, is it? Well, what does it take to get the Holy Ghost? Dying. Am I talking to you? You and the Holy Ghost cannot live superior with each other and competing with each other. You are going to win or the Holy Ghost is going to win. And God help us when we win. But God bless us when the Holy Ghost wins. We get in struggles every day. Who's going to come out superior? Are we going to be led by the Spirit or are we going to be flesh led? Lord help me. I'm not mean. I'm just trying to tell you right now, we're living in the last moments of time. Mr. Trump is in the Middle East drumming the drum of peace. He'll be going to Israel. And while he's drumming the drum of peace, the politicians in Washington and the media is trying to have his funeral. I just want to tell you right now, I'm not worried about Mr. Trump. I'm not worrying about what the politicians are going to do to him, because I told y'all the other night, the second psalm, God quickened that to me when I was talking about in prayer about Mr. Trump. He said, I have set my king. I know he's talking about the Lord. I have set my king upon my holy hill. Why do the heathen rage? Say, let us cut their bands asunder. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Have y'all got time have we really got time to just forget the time and worship God? I know Sister Vivian, she's always, thank you, Sister Vivian. Verse 21, let's get to the task at hand. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him, the Lord, to jealousy with their sins that they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places. This is God's people, the sanctified ones, the elite. They built images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land, male prostitutes. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children. The pagans got cast out, and now the elect is coming along doing the same. That does make me think about 2017. The church is helter-skelter running down the road that the world run down. Well, y'all gonna push me this morning. And it came to pass, let me read that. They did according to all the abominations which the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he, the king of Egypt, took away the tree. When you start living like a dog, when you start living oblivious to the way of God, you're going to come under attack and you're going to get robbed. When you give up your convictions, then the devil's going to take your possessions. I know I'm preaching. So they started living like crazy, like heathen. And so here comes the Egyptians. And if I was living in Judah with a modern charismatic movement, I would say, now, the devil sent those Egyptians up here. So we're going to stand there and we're going to have some praise going on. Happy clappy. And we're going to rebuke the Egyptians and send them back because God said this is our land. It's their land as long as they honor he who gave it to them. So the Egyptians come. They can revile the Egyptians. They can do whatever they want to. But the Egyptians are being used by God to wake the Judeans up. So now what did they do in verse number 26? He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took them all away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam, here's the substitute. Are y'all ready? Here's the substitute. We can't put a sign out over the door. The shields of gold are gone. We can't put it in the Christian magazine. The shields of gold are gone, because that would be embarrassing. That would be admitting that we lost our privilege. So what we've got to do is make a substitute that looks like the real. That's got all the shape of the real. That's got all the features of the real. And maybe the onlooker won't. We'll know. Oh, kashalabakai. We'll know. We'll know that it's not the real deal. We'll know that it's not gold. But the passerbys, the people going by, they'll hear the singing and the clapping and the jumping and the leaping and the running, and they'll think, oh, they got the gold. And they don't have the gold. So they made shields of brass, inferior, not even the same league. Okay, all right. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord. Here comes the guard. Oh, I see king coming. Go get the shields. Go get the substitutes. Brought them back. The king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. There's a verse in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. I counsel thee, Jesus said, to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Would you pray Now, it's 14 minutes, just in case you're interested, before lunch. I don't know how much longer I'll live on this earth. You don't know how much longer you'll live on this earth. But if we could make a solemn covenant with God this morning, individually, and I've been struggling with this for 3 or 4 days now, if we could make a wholehearted, do-or-die covenant with God this morning that the rest of our days on this earth is going to be spent honoring Jesus Christ. Sold out. Am I talking to anybody? Does anybody? If we could just enter into a covenant with Jesus, he entered into one with us. I give you my all. If we could come back in covenant with him and spend covenant that we will spend the remainder of our days serving him. Father, would you touch the ears this morning that hear, minds that can reason, that are able to be wise enough to make commitments and follow those commitments through, that you would move us from frivolousness to fellowship, that we would be sincere and conscientious about who we are, what we are, and where we are. Brother Kenny said that he felt maybe someone was here and this was their day. God help us. If that be the case, it would be a dreadful thing for us to squander this opportunity. My God, hear the prayer of your servant. Touch the heart and mind of every individual in this room, that there may be people coming out of darkness into light. In Jesus' name. A substitute, to be brief about it, is something designed to replace the original. Substitute. It resembles the original. It's designed to take the place of the original. But in reality, it will always be known as a substitute. Go to the ballpark. You'll see some people sitting on the bench in baseball or whatever it is. They got the uniform on that the people on the field have. They got the chew in the back. They got everything just like the ones on the field, but they're on the bench. They're substitutes. I don't care how much you pat them on the back. They will always be aware that they don't belong on the field unless something happens. Substitutes are designed to fill the place of the original. In the scripture, there was always a struggle between the real and the substitute. God furnished the real. Man squandered the opportunity, the privilege, and the real was pushed out the back door. Maybe God withdrew, but those heathen, those Israelites, Hebrews, they could not accept the fact that the glory was gone. In their geniuses, in their ingenuity, they come up with something to replace the original. Moses goes to the mountaintop. He leaves orders for Aaron and the crowd at the foot of the mountain. He stays at the mountaintop. He don't tell them how many days. But he stays up there. He's the one that's leading the flock. And the people say, we don't know about Moses, but we need something that we can see. Moses said, give me your gold. And he put it in the fire. and a calf came out, so to speak. That's what they said. And they fell down and started worshiping Hebrews, God's people, seed of Abraham. They fell down with all the knowledge of Jehovah God that any human being has ever had, and they began to worship a golden calf. They substituted the indescribable God. How tall is God? Who knows? How big is? Who knows? They substituted the indescribable God for a calf that had to be carried around because they wanted something. There's something born in your spirit that says, I must worship, whether it's the NASCAR, the Philadelphia Eagles, or the whatever. There's something in you that says you've got to exude worship. And the devil is working overtime to make sure that he's incorporated in whatever you worship. But you can't worship Satan. You can't drink from the fountain of God and the fountain of mammon. You can't worship God and worship the devil at the same time. You can't split your personality and say 75% belongs to God and 25% belongs to the devil. You can't do it. Either you are for me or you are against me, said God. And that's the struggle of people in this church right now. You've not made up your mind. Are you for me or are you against me? You've not settled the issue in your heart. And that's why so much gloom is in some people's lives, because they cannot make up their mind. I love the world. The Bible said they feared God and served their other gods. You fear God just enough to come to church on Sunday morning and feel like you've done God. I've got to pay my dues. I got to go. At least that'll be on my record. Let me tell you something right now. If you don't surrender your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, your record's not going to mean a whole lot. You can't seek Olabokoshata. See, we got to move away from this token commitment to total commitment. You say that's radical. You say you're intruding on my life. You're intruding on my recreation. Yes, I am. Because I'm obligated to. I'm under the obligation of God to rock your boat. I didn't come here this morning to smooth your feathers. I come here to make you mad. Mad enough that you hit the altar. Get on your knees before God. And say, I'm on my way to hell and I want to stop. I want to turn around. My God, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Enough of this smooth talking. Enough of this mess that goes on in the name of religion. Enough of this mess that says you can have heaven and the world too. You can't do it. Is this all right? Spiritual fire can be deceptive. The fire of God shall always be on the altar. Leviticus chapter 6. Shall evermore be burning on the altar. There's somebody, suppose their obligation is to keep the fire burning. Other people can frolic up and down the highway, but there's somebody that's designated to be the fire keeper. I don't appoint fire keepers. I kind of have a sense of who they are, but I can't appoint them. But God appoints fire keepers. And it's the burden of the fire keeper to keep the fire going in a Pentecostal church so that the fire and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost would have preeminence. Am I talking to you? And when the fire goes out, it can be pointed back to the pastor and the fire keepers. They didn't do their job. It's my job to come to church and do what I can. Oh. I know this is, I'm not even interested in popularity. Not interested. Fire. But something happened as time moved on. The fire did go out. The temple was squandered. But God said, be careful about strange fire. And when you can't get the real, you're so addicted to fire that you'll create strange fire. As long as it's fire, that's all that counts. So no matter who's put the flame on, no matter about at least we got some fire. Well, I walked in River Trace Nursing Home during the cooler weather, and they got a beautiful fireplace up there right against the wall. I said, man, I'm cold nature. I said, that is really neat. I can walk right up there and feel. I walked up there, and there's no heat. I walked up there and put my, once somebody saw me how dumb I looked, and they just put your hand on it. I put my hand right on it. No heat. It was an artificial fire. It looked like a flame. It looked just like a flame. Anybody ever, it looked just like a flame, but it was nothing to it. But it's a fool. It fooled me. If I'd have come in with snow on my shoes and everything, I'd have said, let me get over the body. Oh, God, help me. We got people coming to this church this morning that needs to be in touch with the fire of God so bad you don't know what to do. You need to be stirred. You need to be anointed. You need to be rebaptized in the Holy Ghost. You need to come up from the power of the sawdust shavings, speaking in tongues, shouting, rejoicing, because there's people that are dying. And the artificial, the substitute has deceived them and blinded them, and they're content and they're satisfied. I want to wake you up, my friend. I want to get you stirred up, my friend. I've seen what strange fire has done. We got people that are more interested in happiness than holiness. As long as we're happy. As long as that prodigal son was happy when he left home. But happiness eluded him after a while. He spent it all. He had nothing left. Naomi was happy for a while. She goes down and she starts losing her husband, her boy, her other boy, losing. When you start going away from God, you start losing. You start losing what's close to you. You start losing what's valuable. You don't lose mess. You don't lose trivia stuff. Naomi wakes up one day and says, look, I'm down here. I've got two daughter-in-laws. It's all over. She said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. That's all some of you need to do. Bethlehem is not this building. Bethlehem is the house of God. We're the house of God, the body of Christ. And there are people in this building this morning, you've got away from the body of Christ. And you know you have. You just need to open your heart up and incorporate it. Oh, God, help me. Naomi come back and somebody sees her. She's in Moab. She's in Moab, and she's going back to Bethlehem to the house of bread. Let me tell you something right now. There's bread in the Allegan Church of God, and you might not agree with it. I know truth when I hear it, and I know I'm preaching truth to you. We're not trying to give you a substitute. Lady called up Tuesday. I guess it was Tuesday. Well, I haven't heard from you. I sent something in the mail to you. I haven't heard from you. I said, no, you haven't. That's true. Well, I was giving you the, listen. I was giving you the opportunity to have our group to come over and sing. I said, no, thank you. Oh, somebody help me out. So the crowd in Moses' day had a substitute they could worship. That's all some people want is a substitute they can worship. One of our churches had a family in the church that was very popular and very prominent and very dedicated. And the gentleman of the house died. And so the church come to the conclusion that they wanted to have an eternal flame like they do in Washington, D.C. at Kennedy's. And so they've got the gas company to come in, and they just put that eternal flame. I could not handle that. Walk in the church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. There's the flame burning. Old Brother John. Brother John's gone on. First thing you know, you're going to be putting pennies under the rug there saying, I'm paying. Oh, God. Shut up, Makoyanda Makaya. My soul is. Israel was divided. 10 tribes and 2 tribes. Rehoboam was the leader of the 2 tribes. They squandered opportunities. Brother Larry talked this morning and he mentioned something about, I forgot the context, but it's in the genuineness of it is in the Psalms. Like a crooked arrow. I don't care how good of a shot you are with a bow, if your arrow is crooked, it ain't going to hit the target. Am I kind of right? I mean, it's going to, a crooked arrow, I don't care how much preacher preaches, if he don't preach the Bible, he's shooting with a crooked arrow. That's all. He's scared to hit the one that needs to be hit the most. Well, I'll lose them. We can't mess with hitting with a crooked arrow. I'm never, in 36 years of being over here in this neighborhood and working with this wonderful congregation, I've never, ever, never been as disturbed as I am right now. It's nothing bleak. It's nothing pessimistic. I'm not seeing, the church is going to stand. The church is going to survive. But my God, what will it take to get the fire in some of our people? What will it take to get some of our people waking up again? What would it take? I'll tell you what it would take. It would take what it did for our grandparents. It would take what it did for the generations back. It would take getting back on your face before God and praying. There are no shortcuts. There are no residue. There are no options. You cannot buy books. I got books galore on prayer. I got books telling you how to pray, telling you what to pray for, telling you what sentences to use. I just push them aside. None of that does any good. What I need is to get down instead of talking about praying is to pray. Jesus said to Paul, you go into Damascus and straight, there's Ananias there and he prayeth. Isn't that amazing? That's beautiful. Isn't that? I mean, he's not watching the ball game. He's praying. Oh, God, help us. We will get what we strive after. God does not just drop honey drops from heaven. Am I right? He does not just fall. The king of Egypt, Judah started living ungodly, living wrong. And Egypt come and got the treasures, robbed them. And then they got the shields of gold. It's a beautiful thing, I suppose, those shields of gold. But the dilemma was they were so used to the shields of gold and they were gone now, so they got to manufacture something. Strange fire. And so they come up with, maybe the lay people didn't know it, but, you know, the craftsmen knew it. And King Rehoboam will walk in. Here comes the Aaron boys running with the king with the shields of brass. Polished. See, the shields of brass have always got to be polished. Always got to be rubbed. When you got shields of brass on your pews, you always got to polish them. Always got to stroke them. Always got to pat them on the back. When you got gold on your pews, they say, turn the fire on, preacher. Put it hot. Because if you'll put that fire hot, the junk in my life will be burned out. And that's what's got to happen anyhow. Somehow or other, we got to get in contact with God until the fire burns the mess out of us. This is a sanctifying book. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is a sanctified book. This book will sanctify you. You hear the cliche, sin will keep you from the book and the book will keep you from sin. That's true. This book, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wherein shall a young man take heed to cleanse his ways? This is the word. Am I making sense to anybody? Do you feel the burden of my heart? I left here Wednesday night. I come to church Wednesday. And I was battling a lot of physical stuff. Not spiritual stuff, physical stuff. And it was really a tough, it was a tough go. And God helped me through. But I said, Lord, I'm not worrying about physical things. Let me live long enough in this neighborhood, in this country. Let me live. If it's today, so be it. If it's next week, so be it. But let me live long enough to see the church on its feet, glorifying God, thanking God, worshiping God. Let me see one more revival. Let me tell you something right now, mister. Revival will produce something. You can chitter chatter all you want to. You can jump and jive all you want to. And the next day, settle down and be the same devil you were before you jumped and jived. But when revival comes, Wednesday night we talked about that. Ezekiel saw this ball of fire in chapter 1. And something emerged when fire, when God's fire comes to his congregation, something will emerge. Fire will produce something. It will deteriorate. It will burn. It will consume. But it will produce. And out of that ball of fire comes four living creatures. Each one of them have four heads, four faces. And I'll tell you right now, that's the picture of the church. An ox, an eagle, a man, and a lion. When the fire of God comes into a church, it's going to produce something. Don't even come to me messing around with my ear, telling about how revived you are, if you're not different than you were when you got all revived. Revival is not like cologne. It don't last two or three days. Revival goes on and on and on. When you get revived, you're changed. Somebody just give him glory. People talking about all they got was happy clappy. Some high-speed evangelist comes through, kicks the fellas up a little bit, and everybody shouts. I know people judge me when I'm saying this. Hey, he's jealous. I don't care what you say. I'm 77 years old. I got no reason to be jealous about none of them. I'm safe in where I am. I'm content where I'm at insofar as my status with the denomination. I'm not trying to outshine, but what I'm trying to tell you is they come through here and they blow in, they blow up, and they kick up the shavings and they get everything going, get everybody hyped up, and the pastor sits over and says, boy, it's going to be easy to pastor this crowd now. And the man don't even get the taillights out of you before the phone rings. Well, pastor, yeah. I said, boy, somebody asked me, did you have a revival? I said, I don't know. Give me two or three weeks and I'll tell you whether we had a revival. And two or three weeks went by and I said, no, we didn't have a revival. We had a lot of noise. You might need to pull the car up to the side. Revival is not noise. Revival is transformation. The original shields of gold were gone. Well, here's the song. I've heard this. I know this song. Back when we were in the little white church, So we left, we just put a padlock on the door and locked God. He's over there somewhere now. God is not going to be locked in our little boxes. He's the same God today that he was 36 years ago in whatever kind of church. But we get so hung up on our tradition. Hello? So it's strange, it's hard, it's difficult to admit, it's embarrassing to have to admit that we don't have what we had at one time. It's hard because the blame doesn't go. Don't you even dare put your finger in the devil's face. He'll laugh at you. It's not the devil's fault. It's that devil that lives in you's fault. Am I right? Don't start passing the buck and saying, oh, that's a cop-out. But it's difficult to admit. It's difficult to come and look in the mirror and say, it's not Pastor Jethro's fault. It's not the choir's fault. It's not the musician's fault. It's not this one's fault. It's my fault. But God help us. The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It takes a man to admit that he failed. It takes a woman of integrity to admit, I'm not what I used to be. But I'm not pointing my finger at this one, that one. I'm not pouting. I'm not whining. I am where I am now at the stage of my life. I am where I am now by my own volition. Anybody going to help me out? Blame game. He just don't preach like he used to. You don't sing like he used to. You don't walk with the spring in your step that you used to. You walk slump-shouldered. You say, did you have to do that? I absolutely did not. It just come to my mind to do it. And I did it. Woo! I'd like to hear some of y'all do it. Somebody help me out. Woo! Woo! Could y'all hear me? Anybody back there could have trouble hearing me? Woo! I'm not treeing a coon or running a rabbit. I want the fire of God in my soul. Oh, God. I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Brass will always be inferior to gold. Brass may look the part, but it's not the same. Am I talking to you? And as long as we're content with a substitute, we'll never, ever, never regain the original. Well, you don't have to have all that emotion to go to heaven. I'm satisfied. You're stale. You're stagnated. Is this all right? I'm going to wind it up. I've done too much damage, I'm sure. At some point in every one of our lives, at some point, we've been robbed of the shields of gold. Careless, oblivious to the danger, we laid our head in Delilah's lap. We flirted with the world. We didn't take our calling and our election seriously. And woke up one day and the shields of gold were gone. Well, we're shrewd. We're pretty good on creativity. Well, the shields of gold are gone. But I got to keep up an image. Hello. I can't go naked. You understand symbolically. I can't go without. I've got to have my covering. I've been walking with the shields of gold for a long time, and people know me, and they respect me, and they understand. So what I've got to do, I've got to come up with something that looks like the real. And here's what I know. We're in that time now when the substitute is the people are satisfied with the substitute. They don't even hunger for the gold anymore. They don't even crave the gold anymore. They're satisfied. Here's what I'm trying to preach to you. Days like today, we could get the gold back. I counsel you to buy of me gold. You know what that says? gold has got a price. Did you get that? I counsel thee to buy of me gold, that you be not naked. God don't want us walking around exposed, our non-spirituality exposed. He don't want us walking around putting on a show. He wants us to be able to exude the genuine. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Now here's what I'm closing on. And I didn't talk to Brother Linwood about this. I didn't talk to Sister Ellen about this. I pray that we could have a prayer meeting this evening. Brother Milton, if you're going to be here and nothing will happen tonight. After this morning, I wouldn't want to not be here. Brother Milton will blow the shofar about precisely 10 after 6. And he blew it again at 25 after 6. Not in the upper room, not down the hallway, but in this auditorium. If anybody comes in, I want them to hear, not gossip, not chatter, not mess. I want us to one more time in our life do what we're supposed to do. I want us one more time. How can I be casual when I come to the point, listen to me good. How can I be content? How can I be undisturbed when I go on my duties and I walk by people and I know, without judging them, I know that they're not professing Christians. And I say, hey, bud, how you doing? Something's wrong. The number one thought in my mind should be, is this person a Christian? Is this person a Christian? He that winneth souls. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands. Maybe I should. I'm not intimidated to do that. But just like Monday night prayer meetings, I don't stand up and harp on it because I found out a long time ago, if you want to pray, you'll pray. And if you don't show up, are y'all ready for the most blunt statement that I've ever made? I'm going to tell you what it is. When you don't show up for prayer, you don't believe prayer is going to help you. Oh, you believe it in general terms. You believe, yeah, I believe in prayer. Moses prayed, Daniel prayed, Ezekiel prayed. You know, yeah, I believe in prayer. Jesus prayed, Paul prayed. Well, why don't you pray? See, the reason we don't pray is because we don't really think it's going to happen. But now, we do believe. Now, Pastor, would you please pray for my grandchild, my son, my neighbor? Yeah, I will do that. I will do that. I would be glad to do that. I've never done this, but I've always thought of it. Will you join me over the church for about 2 hours in the altar? Oh, I can't do that, but I was wanting you to pray. You'll stand up, please.